even though Epiphany is a continuation, the third part of the Christmas festival, with the scripture readings that manifest or show the divine glory of that child whose glory was only shown to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth, still, we tend to think of Christmas as being over. The gifts are given, the decorations are being taken down. We usually decorate well before Christmas, don't we? And not just because we leave campus a week before the holiday. The whole town decorates before the festival with lights and glitter, scent of pine, bayberry, and spice. For Mary and Joseph, on the other hand, it was not before, but after, that the celebration came. There was no baby shower beforehand, and they had only strips of cloth to wrap the newborn in. There were no gifts, at least not enough that they could afford anything but the poorest offering weeks later in Jerusalem. But God brought the decorations, the glittering gold, the perfumed incense, the gifts after Jesus was born. We hear of it, first of all, when the wise men come in Matthew 2, and we would read one verse from that. When he, that is Herod, had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Jesus' name, dear fellow students of Christ. Now that verse 4 of Matthew 2 is one of the most frightening passages in the gospel accounts of Jesus' birth. It is frightening not because Herod was closing in on the child and about to kill him. Frightening not because he was going to lie to the wise men about his intentions, and not even because he was already preparing to send his soldiers wherever he had to in order to hack to pieces all the children of that town and so ensure the death of the one born king of the Jews. No, the reason that this passage is so frightening is that Herod knew exactly what the wise men were talking about. He did not ask the scribes if they knew anything about a pretender to the throne. He did not ask them if they had heard anything on the street. He asked them where the Christ, the Messiah promised by Jehovah, would be born. He also knew where to go for the answer. He did not go to some astrologer or palm reader, didn't even go to his network of spies and snitches throughout the land. He went to the teachers of the Word of God. And he knew that this newborn king was one to be worshipped. He knew, but he never made it to Bethlehem. He called the wise men in for a conference. He learned everything he could about Christmas and pondered how he could use this to his advantage, to get what he wanted out of it. He knew in his head, but he had his own plans, his own thoughts about what was important, his own ideas of how things should work out. Well, we know that he was thwarted in his plans, so why should this be frightening to us? It is frightening because you and I also know who the wise men were talking about, don't we? You and I also know where to go to get information about the Lord's Christ, about him who was born to be King of the Jews. And each of us also has our own Herod tagging along with us, with our own plans, our own thoughts about what is important for us right now, our own ideas of how things should work out for us. our own desire to be on the throne in every circumstance, even if it means at times pushing the child aside. Herod was wise in the ways of the world. Perhaps he knew that none of his people would believe that he really wanted to worship, that if he headed for Bethlehem himself, he might scare away his intended victim. So, if that were the case, even though he knew this child was also there for him to worship, he might simply stay home and send the wise men alone in order to set the trap. Send them on alone? We would never do that, would we? We would never point out to someone else where the chapel, where the church, where the Word of God may be found, and then stay home in our own thoughts and desires, would we? On the throne in our lives? That's what's so frightening. We would. How many times have we done it? Maybe without even realizing. But thanks be to God, he did not let Herod have his way, nor did he let Herod rule our lives. He came to us with his kind word and took us along with the wise men. He led us to rejoice again as we confirmed our baptismal covenant. And we have seen the star that leads to the young child again and again on our journey. How often haven't we seen it in one form or another? On Facebook, someone is blessed in their activities at school or in their home or in their occupation, and then at the end of the description concludes, "God is good." Those things are like the stars. And then his word shows us whom to thank. In his word he has shown us that this child is more precious than any history, any language, any math, any music that we may study, any throne that we may ascend. He is a greater gift than any gift we can bring to him. He came to pay even for Herod's sins. He came for us. God is good. Oh, the joy beyond expressing when by faith we grasp this blessing and to him we come confessing that our freedom, also from Herod's tyranny, he has wrought. Amen.